Hey ladies, it's the PPP Podcast with your host Money, the lounge for the poised, paid, and prospering woman. It has everything you need in female entrepreneurism. In the lounge, let me take you through my sizable risks, tremendous rewards, and greatest challenges that established my career, as well as the balance I had to initiate while still remaining poised, paid, and prosperous. Female Rang, enterprises are steadily growing all over the world, contributing to household incomes and the growth of national economies. I will walk us through the successes of the fashion, apparel, and retail industries at the highest levels. Grow with me, ladies. Without further delay, here's another amazing episode of the PPP Podcast. Hi, you guys. Welcome back. Welcome back. Let me tell you, this year is beating my ass. I'm going to start off by saying it's beating me, okay? Listen, you guys, we are on week, 15, I want to say. Is this week 15? Let me be sure. I think it's week 15, but I could be wrong. It's definitely episode 15. And if you've been listening since episode 1, thank you. If you're new, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a safe place. I'm going to always let you guys know that this is a safe place. It's my creative space to be able to give you guys insight on the entrepreneur lifestyle, at least mine, to be exact. And I always get feedback from other entrepreneurs. You know, we cheaty, cheaty, bang, bang every now and then, and I bring it to you guys. But it's been a journey. I'm so thankful. I still can't believe that we're going this strong. And I mean, I can't believe it, but I can't wait till it's like 115 pod. You get what I'm saying? But today's topic is going to be finding your niche, okay? Finding your niche, finding your niche, and how to identify the passion, right? And turn it into a successful business. You guys, it is so, I always tell people, you have to kind of like do, people want to make money, right? We all want to make money, but in due time, you're going to get tired of it. That's why people leave jobs, right? Because they're not really happy there. Some people, you know, be miserable going to work. Some people enjoy what they do, but it's really be the paycheck, right? And I was always a person that was just like, and I still am, like, I love money, you know? Money buys me things that make me happy, buys me food that makes my belly happy, allow me to see places that I've never saw. You get it? Like, money makes me happy. However, I've always been a person that was like, I want to wake up in the morning and be happy about what I'm doing. So it was always my dream to turn a hobby into a paycheck, right? Passion is a paycheck. And I think I mentioned that before on a previous pod. But if you find your passion and what makes you happy, if you love it enough and it's passion, right, you're going to find a way, or you will try to find a way to make it make money. And with that being said, me working in retail, like, I've always been the fly friend since young. Like, I've always been the it girl, like, since young. And I mean, I always had my own style. I always was the friend that was like, you know, you call them to see what you think about this. How does it look? I was always that one. And so, you know, as I got older, I'm just like, I could do this for real. Like, this could really be it. Like, this could be it. And that's what I did. I made it it, right? And I'm in a place right now where it's just like, I'm trying to find other things that I'm passionate about to make money with. Because I'm never content. I just told y'all that. Like, I'm always, always looking for more, wanting more. How can I expand? How can I make more money? Like, just like how I'm making it now, but in other ways, like, what else makes me happy enough for me to be able to generate dollars from it? Because I don't want to be one of those people, like, I'm always, like, on Instagram and, you know, people are like, I could teach you how to drop ship. And I could have been doing drop shipping, like, 4 or 5 years ago, like, when it had first, well, it been big, but, you know, Amazon drop shipping is, like, such a huge thing and you're paying people to teach you how to do it. It's great money in it. And it makes you, you know, it makes good money. Like I said, it's great money in it, but I'm not going to say I don't want to, but I'd rather be passionate behind it, because if passion is there, you're going to be consistent even when the money isn't flowing. And that's how I knew that I had a passion for retail. I had a passion for fashion, because it was plenty of days that I didn't make no money, but I still would show up and show out, put my best foot forward, because I was passionate about what I did, and I knew eventually the Lord was going to make my cup overflow, and he did. And it overflowed to where I was able to flow into other people's cup. So finding your niche and, you know, turning your passion into a paycheck is going to be with self. But I do have some tips, right, that I want to put out there about basically how to identify your niche and, like, you know, the important steps of starting a successful business when finding it, right? So you have to identify what your passion and interests are. Because at one point, I'll tell you, like with me, I used to really like hair. And I spoke on that, like on episode one, me starting working in the hair store. Like, I knew about bundles. I knew about lace wigs. I knew about all that at a very, very young age before girls was on to it, right? And I could do hair at the time. Like, and I always say, had I gotten into the hair industry, like before I did the clothing, I probably would be a millionaire already. And the reason why I feel that is because I knew, like, exactly what, where, and how to do that. Whereas with retail, I had to teach myself more. Mind you, I had been working in the hair business since 15. I opened my first brick and mortar with retail at 22. So that's a 7-year gap, right? But I would say if from 15 to 19, I was working in hair. You get what I'm saying? So I knew more about that than I knew about retail. And had I perfected my craft, like had I been that girl that really, really, really wanted to do hair, because I was able to do it. I was able to put a lace front on by the age of 17. And mind you, lace fronts was not a thing then, but I was selling them and I had to learn how to do it. So I'm not the best. But had I been perfecting that craft better then, I would already be where I want to be at now. And, you know, I reflect about it a lot. And, you know, we're not going to cry over spoiled milk. We're not. But that passion and interest that I had then, I changed it. I had a passion for hair, but my love was really fashion. And not saying I didn't love hair, but I didn't love it enough, obviously, to invest into it and really go full force with it. So when I say you have to identify your passions and interests, you got to find out those things that interest you. So I tell people, you know, make a list of things that you're passionate about and you're interested in, right? Once you make that list, you have to think about what you enjoy doing in your free time. So see, when I said before, right, me with retail, I was the friend that my friend would call, you know, or tell me come over, like, help me put this together. Like, I was always that girl. Like, I was doing that for guys and girls. Like, I was cutting up denim. I was dyeing shit. I was making, you know, I was just creating stuff. Like, I just was that girl. I don't know. That was just something that I was inspired by. That was something I had an interest in. And I've never really designed anything but for myself. And I want to get into designing. I spoke about that before. But me identifying that this was something that created happiness for me, that's how I knew it was a passion, right? So you have to think about the things you enjoy doing in your free time, and then what topics you like to read about, or, you know, what problems you like to solve. So me with retail, I know that women, right, we struggle with our appearance, you know, and the prettiest girls have the struggles that we don't know about. I've seen it all, right? But I love, love, love uplifting women. I always say that on my pods. That's something I enjoy doing, and especially more when I'm drinking. Like, I'm more like, oh my god, you look so cute. Like, I'm just more friendly, right, when I'm drinking. But I love making the next woman feel good. I love that. So excuse me, the fact that that's a problem in, you know, our community, it's not enough uplifting. When I say our community, the black community, that's my client majority of the time. I said that before. We don't uplift each other like we should. Black women do not uplift one another the way that they should. And I said it in the most humblest way. So I try and be an advocate, and I try and do my part in the world and, you know, uplift women. Oh, I love your hair. Oh, I love your makeup. Oh, I love your outfit. Oh, that bag hit. And like, I try and make a woman feel good, because one compliment could turn a whole woman's or man's day around. You know, and people often confuse compliments with flirting. I could compliment a man's tie, haircut, beard, socks, shoes, and just doing it just to be nice. And I quite frankly might think the shit is ugly, but I know that that could make somebody's day. So I do it, right? So that's solving a problem in my eyes. And on top of that, you know, in the urban community where I serve at, right, it's been decades of other ethnicities catering and serving these communities. And I kind of got tired of, you know, once I got into retail and I'm seeing how much things cost, but seeing how much they're being priced at, right? I'm like, I'm just tired of that, overpricing a community that you do not even cater to in hard times. You know, you're not donating when holidays come around, you're not giving back. You know, there's other ethnicities that cater to the urban Black community but don't give back. So I feel like that's a problem. We'd be so quick to give our money, right, to these businesses, and nothing is wrong with it, but they don't care about the community. Whereas me, or all I could do is speak about me on this topic, I feel like that's a problem in these communities, because I want to be an advocate and I want to help my communities do better. But other people don't live in these communities, so they don't see the problems. And if they do see the problems, they don't care to fix them because it's not their problems. Their businesses are just located in these divisions, right? So those are other things. Like, it's deeper than just, you know, clothes to me. It's deeper than that. I provide a safe, clean environment to my clients, and that's what it is, right? I provide luxe for less. I make women feel good about themselves, no matter what they're going through, no matter what insecurities they may have. I train my girls to make sure you are friendly, you are prompt, you are on it, you are making your woman feel good that's in there. Treat them like they're your mama. Treat them like they're your sister. Treat them like they're your cousin or your friend. You have to do that. Make them. Build them up, you know, because it's enough tearing each other down. So those problems, I made sure that I could, I saw and I wanted to solve, right? So you have to make sure your business should align with your passion and interests, and as this will help you stay motivated, like, during your investment, if that makes sense. It'll keep you motivated and invested into your craft. So that's one thing, you know, like I said, to make sure we're on the same page, making a list of the things you're passionate and interested by, okay? Interested in. And then after you find the things that you are passionate and interested in, and, you know, solving a problem or doing the things you enjoy doing in your free time, or like to read, or just the research, right? You have to then research that particular market. So you could be a person that's like really, really big on health. So you're going to write down different ways you could be an advocate for health. You could be a person that say, oh, well, I want to open up a juice bar, organic, all organic. You could be a person that says, I want to be a fitness trainer. I want to train people on fitness. You could be a person that say, okay, well, I want to be an advocate for mental and physical health, where it's like you are guiding people about the knowledge. You get what I'm saying? You're more of an educator than a physical workout person, or doing physical smoothies, fruit bowls, and salads. So you could be into health, but you have to do the research on that market. Once you have a list of potential business ideas, right, and you research that market to determine if there's a demand for the service or products that you want, there you go. You at step two. You're then going to look at your competitors, who else are doing this, who else is a fitness trainer, who else is an educator or advocate for mental health and physical health wellness, right? Who else is doing juice bars or smoothie shops? You're looking at your competitors and what they're doing. What's the trends? What trends are basically emerging, right? What's going on in the industry? And what problems your target audiences is experiencing? So, With wellness, it could be any audience. You could say you want to tackle the youth. You want to grab them while they're young. You could say, okay, I want to tackle, you know, college and people that's fresh out of college, because they've been strained from school so much, and then they're going into, you know, drinking or drugs, like that late 20s, mid 30s area. You could be an advocate, or that could be your audience, or it could be older people that's just had horrible health issues, or it could be obese. Like, you have to find that particular audience for your niche. You have to do that, right? One moment. So then, so once you found out who your audience is, you have to basically see what problems that audience is experiencing, and then that research will help you determine if there is a viable market for your business. Because, you know, what most businesses, you are basically solving a problem. And it don't have to be, you're solving something. You're giving something. You you are providing a service or a product that is going to solve some type of problem. That is how a successful business even starts. Because if you're not solving anything, then why do we need you? You get what I'm saying? Like, car washes thrive because there's dirt and debris outside. There's always going to be dirt, debris, rain outside. You get what I'm saying? So a car wash is going to always be a necessity. You got to look at it like that. Like the pharmaceutical world, we're going to always, always, always need pharmacists. Because as long as the world gets sick, we're going to need medicine. We're always going to need it, right? So you've defined your target audience. Once you have the business idea, right? We already talked about that. You came up with the business idea. You have researched that market. You defined who your targeted audience was. You have to determine who your ideal customer is going to be, what their needs and pain points are, and how your business can solve their problems and meet their needs. You get what I'm saying? You following me? This will help you create the product and service that is tailored to that audience and increase your chances of success. Do you hear me? Are you guys listening? I'm dropping the gems. I'm telling you what you're supposed to do. Solve these problems. It's easy. It's easy to find. It's so easy to find out what your area don't need, especially if you're living in this community. You know what you need. You know, like, for instance, say we talked about health and I said you could have been a health person. I wouldn't be no counselor, but let me think of something else. I feel like we're going to talk about New Orleans in particular, right? I feel like New Orleans does not have enough, not recreational centers, but enough places that keep the youth occupied. Like, the only thing New Orleans have for the youth is, like, Dave & Buster's and, like, Chuck E. Cheese. Dave & Buster's is on a, like, you know, on a higher end, and they got the movie theater. They have the skating rings. And they have, like, Sky Zones. But, like, you know, it's different age groups. But I feel like there is not really much for our teenagers to participate in other than the movies. Like, so I feel like somewhere in the world, some investor or someone should bring more, you know, activities for our teenagers. Something. I don't know what it is, but I'm in the community and I see that that is an issue in our community. And I feel like somebody needs to come in and bring more stuff to the city for our teenagers. That's just my thought. That's just me, right? That's a problem. And I know that it'll be successful. I know that Dave & Buster's do very well. Like, what? It put Dave & Buster's in the middle of the city. Like, if they brought back Six Flags, I think that'd be a huge asset. They would make millions. They would make millions because we don't have water parks. We don't have amusement parks. That type of stuff is needed. We need that. We need amusement parks. Come on. Y'all know that I'm preaching right now. This is me preaching. Okay, so I've dropped the gems. I'm going to go back one more time and tell you guys, listen, find your niche. It needs to be a passion. You're going to turn your passion into a paycheck. If you're passionate about the youth, you're going to find things for the youth to do. And that's gonna bring money. Money's going to come automatically. And then you have to basically, like I said, the money going to come. So after you've done all those things, right, you have to test out your idea. Before, you know, you feel like investing time and money into this potential business, you have to test out the idea with your potential customers, you guys. That's super, super important. You have to create an MVP. And an MVP is basically like the minimum viable product or the prototype to get feedback from the targeted audience. So, like when I brought up the juice bar, you know, instead, I wouldn't say go straight into buying juices unless you got the money like that. I mean, buying a juice bar, going find a spot, building it out. You know, I'm more of a person that likes to start small. Like I did. I started off very small with pop-up shops to see how well people gravitated to me, how well they like my products. So for, and like with a juice bar, you could start off making smoothies and, you know, you going to the you collaborating with like a local gym and you setting up selling these particular smoothies or fruit bowls and seeing how, first of all, you're going to be gaining clientele, but you're seeing how people are gravitating to you. And I've witnessed people do this, man. I've really witnessed people go from selling juices and smoothies, you know, at pop-up shops and events, to having juice bars and smoothie bars. Like, I've witnessed greatness. So I'm telling you, it's proven. create that prototype, create the product, create the service, and test it out to get feedback from your targeting audience. Then you're going to use that feedback to refine your product and service to make sure that it is something that people are willing to pay for. Because you could have something that's great, but if a person feel like they don't have to, it's not worth buying, it doesn't make sense. So you start it out and you create it. And even if you don't solve a problem, you have to create it like you are solving the problem. Like it's something that you need. I always tell people, like, I could sell water to a whale, right? I'm going to make you feel like you need whatever this is. Like you're not going to, you're going to die without it. That's what you got to make people feel like. So once people feel like, once you find out that people are willing to pay for it, boom, you stay flexible and you have to remember that your niche may evolve over time, y'all. Being open to feedback and being willing to pivot your business is very much necessary. You can't be like still mind. You have to be open to making, you know, changes and broadening your thoughts and your idea. Because you could say, when I say the wellness, right, and I gave y'all different ideas on wellness, mental wellness and physical wellness, being a fitness trainer, creating counseling or therapy, right? Because all this is under the same niche. Also, creating a juice bar or a smoothie bar, right? You have to be willing to open up, because you could expand your business. You could start off with opening up a gym, right? And then from having just a gym to putting a juice bar inside the gym, right? You get what I'm saying? You got to be willing. Don't stay still. Don't stay small. Because if you stay small, then, or keep your mind small, it's not going to grow. You have to be willing and wanting to open and grow. You have to know that it's okay to evolve over time. Because now, I'll be honest, I'm going to let you guys know. So, you know, when I first started, I told y'all it was just accessories. And I knew that I was going to put swimwear, right? When my first summer came, I was like, okay, swimwear. But because of my clients, they're like, well, you need to put clothes in it. I mentioned that. That was because I was not afraid to evolve. I was not afraid to allow my niche to grow and allow me to grow. I wasn't trying to just stay with just accessories and swimwear. Because people don't always travel, but you know, and I would have limited myself. I would have had to start finding more ways to make money. But I was able to expand that business, right? And now I'm at the point where I kind of want to add shoes to make it a one-stop shop. So it's like it's been over 5 years, 6 years, or whatever the case may be, but I'm always opening to evolving, right? Excuse me. And as the business grows and it changes, your niche, it may shift to better align with your customers, their needs, and you know, your own passions and interests. It's okay. All that is totally fine. You're going to remember why you started. And long as it's staying on that path, it's okay. You have to stay flexible and willing to adapt to ensure that your business remains successful, you guys. You have to stay current. You have to stay with what is going on in the world. The world is spinning and it's constantly changing, y'all. This episode, I'm telling y'all, I'm dropping gems. I'm dropping gems. The world is constantly evolving. I'm telling you guys, I know that all these big companies that are closing, they did not think 20 years down the line we was going to have a COVID. They didn't think that COVID would have impacted business the way it is. I don't know if you guys are like into current events, but I be seeing like all these Foot Lockers are closing all over the world. All these Charlotte Russe is closing down. Bed Bath & Beyond closing. When these people are letting off employees, when these companies are letting go massive employees, they're downsizing. They're like, the world is no longer needing it in this capacity. We have to now move in the way that the world is moving. And all this shit started happening because of COVID. COVID has scared the world in a different type of way. So these businesses have to adapt. They have to adapt to what is going on. And I'm always a person like, I'm going to tell you, COVID was like a huge lesson for me. And it was a blessing for me at the same time, because I grew and I experienced some shit that I never think I would have to experience. But I did. And I'm happy it was early, better than late. You know, I was like three years in business when COVID happened. And when I tell you I thrived, I had to figure it out. I had to figure out what to do, right? Because everybody went to online shopping, but I had then turned off my online. I had turned it off like after the fact. I want to say that summer 2020 when we opened back up. But I had to adapt, right? And when I say adapt, I had brick and mortar. All my inventory was inside of a mall that I couldn't even get inside. So even if you did order online, how could I even get you this merchandise, right? So I had to find a way to be more flexible and feasible to my clients. Adaption. You gotta be open, y'all. I'm dropping gems. You gotta catch them. So, with that being said, finding your niche and how to identify your passion and turn it into a successful business. That was this episode 15. And listen, Till next time, I hope that you guys got something from this, and moving forward, use this information because your passion definitely should turn into a paycheck. You can definitely make that happen. People that crochet all day, they selling, they booming right now. If you can crochet hats, crochet tops, crochet bottoms, crochet swimsuits, that is all trending. Turn that passion into a paycheck. Turn a hobby into a career. Till next time, you guys. Mwah.
You've just listened to another episode of the PPP Podcast with Money, the lounge for the poised, paid, and prospering woman. The PPP Podcast was recorded live in a studio with final editing before uploading. Subscribe today to the PPP Podcast for more incredible content. Don't miss the next episode of the PPP Podcast with Money on all main streaming platforms.